Live from the Carolinas capital, it's the McLaughlin Group with insights, forecasts, and opinion on insights of the day. And now, your moderator, John McLaughlin.
Issue number one, who won the draft? Analytics specialist and Carolina Hurricanes co-general manager, Eric Tulski.
I think the numbers would absolutely show that I think...
Wrong! Canadian media, Gord McKegg.
I think it's obvious Toronto won that draft just by being Toronto.
Wrong! Canadian Olympic president Marcel Abou.
Well, I think it is safe to say that with the number 5 overall pick, Montreal won the draft by selecting a man from Finland who will...
Wrong! The correct answer was Andrei Svechnikov for not having to go to Buffalo. Issue number 2. Bill Peters is currently forming a super team up in Calgary. Why is this guaranteed to finish poorly? Canadian media, Gord McKegg.
Calgary's putting together a perfect combination of size and grit and toughness and tenacity in 200-foot games.
Wrong! Olympic Canadian, Marcel Abou.
I don't see what Calgary is doing. They have not won a Stanley Cup since the late 80s. They don't know what they're doing. Bill Peters is not the man to lead Calgary to greatness. He does not even assemble the team.
Okay. Eric Tulski, Walla Walla Wolski, Butta Butta Folski, Matulski.
I don't know that Calgary's...
Wrong! The correct answer is this will end poorly. For everyone. Issue number 3. Dougie Hamilton, as a Louvre exhibit, what is he? Marcel Abou. Wrong! You're French, you lose. Canadian media, Gord McKegg.
I think he is the great outdoors.
Wrong! Back to Marcel Abou.
When one must...
Wrong! Eric Tulski. Wrong! Back to Marcel Abou.
The Louvre is a beautiful collection of Renaissance-era paintings and other sculpture. And when one considers art, you must appreciate...
Wrong! The correct answer is Dougie Hamilton is already a work of art. Let's go to our sponsor.
This is Don Meyer with Fathom Realty, official realtor of Section 328. You can find me at becauseitshome.com. I am as passionate about helping you make your next move as I am about the Carolina Hurricanes. On average, homes sold by my firm sell 78 days quicker than other homes on the MLS, getting money in your pocket sooner. Buyers also get exclusive strategic representation in the seller's market. Contact me at becauseitshome.com to learn more.
Thanks, Dawn. And thanks to our guest, Eric Tulski, Canadian media, Gord McKegg, and yeah. Marcel Abou. For those of you who are just joining us, this is part 2 of the McLaughlin Group. We like to refer to it as Cheaters Never Win here. So welcome, Derek. It's been a while.
And it's been a while since we've done a podcast.
Yes, it has.
Together in the same room.
Yeah, you've done a few podcasts since I last did a podcast.
I have. I actually recorded one more than most people heard, which is for the best. So yeah, while in Dallas, while you were gallivanting around the globe, Mike, I was down there with the 328 travel crew. We recorded the all cheap mail edition, which was opened up to the public by popular demand. We recorded a regular episode of Cheaters Never Win with multiple people on there. And then we had the drunk podcast, which had to be re-recorded because we were too drunk Friday night and no one outside of that room would have enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's what happens when I'm not there. You know, when Dad isn't around to like go, okay, guys, let's bring it in. So that way it only goes as far as Oliver threatening to kidnap the owner's youngest son.
Now, here's the thing I will say. One, there were more of us, so that just added to the chaos. Two, we had just drafted Svechnikov, so we were really high on life at that point.
And happy Svechnikov Day, by the way.
And a happy Svech Day to you too, sir. There was Cards Against Humanity in the room.
Yes.
And we started pulling those cards and reading what was on them. And that level of inappropriate combined with that level of drunk does not make for a podcast that is friendly to, let's say, anyone.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of tragic events that aren't, you know, built for humor.
No. Unless you're playing Cards Against Humanity.
Right. Time and place.
Right.
That time and place is not on a podcast and ever.
and on the internet.
Yes.
That's what Twitter's for.
Exactly.
So, but no, glad to be back here. I had a few weeks of vacation, got away with the fam. It was absolutely phenomenal. Hate that I missed the draft. But we have a lot of things to talk about tonight, Derek. One, Mr. Svechnikov. We've got some trades. I've got a trade to announce. Oh, God. Favorite words. We've got free agents to talk about. We have coaches quitting. We have new sweaters. We have a new captain.
Well, that's not official yet.
Oh, yes, it is, because we drafted him in the second round, and his name is Jack freaking Drury.
What?
And we're also, we're also 30 short. We're 30 short. Maybe that's what we'll start. Maybe that's what we'll start calling this podcast. We'll change the name, and like ESPN has 30 for 30.
Mm-hmm.
This will just be the 30 short podcast. I'm going to get out of the way here, Derek. I'm going to swing the mic over so that way,
the people
who are watching the stream can see here this beautiful piece of art that we have in the 328 Worldwide headquarters.
Yep,
of former Carolina Hurricanes goaltender.
Yeah, the people can see this.
Yes, they can.
Cameron. Yeah.
So, Jarrell
Ward. That's not his middle name, Mike. That is not his middle name at all. So let's start with that.
Kal-El.
Let's start with that.
Hey, you know what? You know what, Derek?
What?
Yeah, you've already screwed up doing one podcast in the last couple of weeks. How about you know your role and hit that damn X button?
Oh, yeah, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to this. A jubilant, happy, Cam Ward free.
This is a happy time.
Edition of your favorite podcast and ours. Probably more ours than yours because, you know, this is the only one we do. This is Cheaters Never Win. Proudly brought to you by the good folks over at Bottlemix because they brought us beers that we're drinking tonight.
Hey.
And Dawn from Fathom Realty. Fathom Realty with Dawn. She's got a pro move clause in her contract.
Yeah, buddy.
That says she wants to sell your house. So my name's Mike.
This is Derek.
And we're going to have a good time tonight. This could be a 30-minute podcast, but we all know that's a damn lie.
Oh,
so,
Mike.
We're going to do our best to kind of get this thing in under... Let's work for under 60 minutes, Derek. No guests tonight. Just you and I.
Mm-hmm.
John McLaughlin, Eric Tulski, Gord McKegg, Marcel Labou. We are here to catch everybody up on what's been the latest and greatest things happening in Hurricanes Caniacville. The biggest thing that's happened since you and I have talked, John Tavares is not a Carolina Hurricane.
My God. You should have told me to have a seat first, Mike.
Yeah, I know, right?
Hey, just quick question. If you were going to, if I told you, here are two names, one of these is fake, Marcel Abu and Gord McKegg, would you put, how confident would you be that Gord McKegg is the fake one?
I you know, I'm sure there's a guy named Gord McKegg who was a solid SPHL hockey player.
Mm-hmm. Playing in the Southern Pro League?
Yes.
Gord McKegg for... I don't know what the hell team in
the Birmingham Baronies. I don't know.
I'm sure the Biloxi Biscuits
probably had a goal and assist against Darling in 1 year.
Maybe.
I don't know. We love Scotty. Scotty Darling is my damn goalie.
Damn right.
Derek, you know what? We have a list of things. Up
we
here.
Do.
You know what? You're a podcast producer. Where do you want to go first?
Look, I could spin the wheel. Can we get one of those press your luck buttons? no whammies. Stop. Ah, damn it. We got to talk about the Coyotes. Do we start with Svechnikov?
Let's talk.
It's chronological.
Yeah. Let's go back to the draft. Everyone has listened now to all of the draft weekend coverage that you and the 328 team did down there in Dallas.
So I don't want to go into the draft part of it too much.
Let's not go into the draft part of it, but, you know, you were fortunate enough amongst a few other folks to have a chance to actually see and shake hands with Andrei Svechnikov on his draft night.
I got to touch him, Mike.
What was your initial impression of just the, not necessarily Andrei, but just kind of the feeling around the Caniacs room there as they made the pick and were welcoming him into the Caniac family?
So we had to sit pretty high up. We tried to go to 328, but that section was actually behind the tarp, so the view would not have been good. So we did not sit there.
I thought Dallas planned well.
Yeah, they knew what to do. But what I will say is I don't know what was going on in the Canes room. I'm sure they were pretty happy, you know, based on the fact that they rolled stuff out that had Svechnikov all in the gear from when he was in town a few weeks prior.
Right.
But what I will say is fans of other teams who saw us in Canes gear were going, you guys got a hell of a player. Like, just the outpouring of positive comments was delightful to see. And, yeah, everything seems good. All the stuff from the Summerfest, the prospect camp. He's been paired with Party Nachos. The future seems bright. What I'm really excited about...
Yeah, folks didn't need to see that either. I forgot we were streaming.
I'm trying to temper my enthusiasm for Svechnikov, but I'm so excited to have a player whose ceiling and his high end is that high. We haven't had that in quite a while. And reading so many things, like, this kid could be a perennial 40-goal scorer. I'm just like, tell it to me slower.
Hey, Derek, let me go down the list here of perennial Hurricanes 40-goal scorers.
Okay.
Yep, that's it.
Jeff O'Neill, didn't he have multiple 40-goal seasons? Or is it multiple, like he had a streak of 30-goal seasons, I forget. I
mean, he may have had one or two, but it wasn't, I mean, you have to be more than have two to be per. Alexander Ovechkin is a perennial 40-goal scorer.
Stamkos.
Timo Salani. Perennial 40-goal scorer.
Okay, here's the ceiling. Svechnikov, score 77 your rookie year. Break Timu's record.
Oh, God.
You won't.
Stop it.
We know he's not on this podcast, but he's listening.
I'm just telling you right now, if Andrei Svechnikov scores 78 goals his rookie season...
That's like a crazy, Mike. 77.
I will do this podcast into that very camera buck naked.
So, Mike, if that happens, our listeners are going to tear his ACL at 75.
Probably.
Like, you're going to have to wrap him in bubble wrap when he gets north of 70, because no one wants you to do this podcast naked, least of all me.
Okay, let me rephrase that. We will do this podcast
naked. Then I'm injuring him at 60.
No, it's happening. 78 goals. The Naked Drunk Podcast. Drunk and naked.
That podcast brought to you by baby oil.
Oh, you know what? You can wear a singlet as long as you oil up.
Does it like two shoulder, one shoulder?
One shoulder.
You know we're getting really into the podcast when I take the one strap off the singlet.
Exactly.
Okay, good.
Everything I've heard. So Andrei Svechnikov, we were actually talking with Andrei's agent for a little while before the draft and before it kind of became obvious that after the combine he was coming into Raleigh. They had committed to us that Andrei was going to be on, but then once the Canes kind of locked him down for Raleigh, things kind of fell apart a little bit. There was focus on other media. Matt, there we go. Game Show Friday again from at Raleigh Monkey, everyone's favorite 328 friendly side, Hurricanes friend and Game Show Friday legend Matt Riegler has offered to also do a podcast naked.
Great.
Yeah.
That's what we need. Hey, sorry, you were telling the story of how Svechnikov's agents big-timed us.
So, not necessarily big-timed us, but I think once the Hurricanes kind of lined up some things that they had wanted him to do, I think priorities changed a little bit.
And, maybe a little.
And we respected that. They were very nice to us. We appreciate all the conversations that they did have with us before the draft. And again, just Andrei still learning English, still's got some room to grow there, but we expect that to get much, much better over the coming year, as Sebastian Aho's did when he first came.
And as a result, when he is on this podcast eventually, the questions will increase in difficulty.
Yes, massively.
Yeah, because we're going to lob a few softballs.
Oh, a few?
Exclusively softballs.
Yeah.
Okay. And now I think we might... throwing a little change-up? Throwing a sinker?
Maybe. They'll still be beach balls, but, you know, you can hit a sinker beach ball sometimes.
I'll have somebody hit a golf ball with a tennis racket his way. It goes really far, in case you're wondering.
Yes, it does.
The great deal of speed.
I'm just over the moon, happy, excited that Andrei Svechnikov is part of the Carolina Hurricanes family. Again, happy Svech Day to everybody.
Indeed. Buy the merch.
Yeah, it's just so good. It's just so good. Thanks to Meg at Love and Hydrogen. You guys know and love her well, who had the idea. We tried to make Svetch a thing, and then we realized making Svetch a thing was too much of a stuff to just do on a t-shirt. But then Svetch. Oh, he's just so Svetching.
I also like hear the Flash Gordon song in my head of just
Svetch. Ha! The defender of the universe. Oh, yeah. That's going to be a thing all season. Hey. You think the Hurricanes promo staff is listening? Hey, guys, when Andrei Svechnikov scores, just Photoshop his head on Flash Gordon. And then, you know, after you do the new goal song and all of that, you just do Svech, ha, the defender of the Hurricanes. It works.
Yeah. Money, please.
Yes, pay us. Pay the man. I can't wait for him to be here.
Yeah, let's do it.
You know who else I can't wait for him to be here?
Who dat?
Dougie Hamilton. We have a trade to announce.
That was so much fun to watch that happen.
Derek, I listened to part of the podcast. Did you kind of walk through in detail what you guys saw? So why don't you go ahead and just kind of, again, you guys were at the draft. We were in Dallas. Night one,
yep.
You know, all of the fans have to sit upstairs. The day two, it's a lot of family still there, not mm-hmm. nearly as many fans, but fans get to sit downstairs closer to the action. So
yeah.
As you're there, 10 o'clock on Saturday, kind of walk through that morning with what you saw happening at the tables.
Totally. So, yeah, again, a much closer view. We still weren't able to sit the 100 level. And for those, most people listening, I assume, are Hurricanes fans, know that the PNC Arena has by far, of the arenas I've been to, the largest lower bowl. So the 100 section for the Hurricanes, pretty tall, you know, 25 plus rows. In other buildings, especially the American Airlines Arena, it's closer to 15 rows. So the fact that you can't be in the 100 level, not really a burden. 200 level is great. It's deep seating there. But we had a good view, so we're watching the Canes table. And, of course, they're next to Calgary, and we're just kind of going, huh, that's probably awkward for Bill. And then we notice
Bill.
Peters coached here for a while.
Oh,
fan of clearer water.
Yeah, I remember.
Doesn't like ice in his glass. So we're watching. And one of the things with the draft is people will get up from their tables, especially after round two, and just start having conversations. Sometimes it's to catch up with an old friend. Other times it's to talk about trades that may or may not come to fruition. But we noticed Don Waddell and the general manager of the Flames, Brad Treliving, having a pretty long conversation leaning up against the boards. And they would talk for probably 10, 15 minutes, and then Don Waddell would go back to his table, and Treliving would talk to Bill Peters. But we also noticed at the same time, Waddell was going over and talking to the St. Louis table, talking to the Buffalo table. But he kept coming back and talking to Treliving. And then I noticed Waddell and Treliving walk up to Central Registry, which is where the general managers go when they agree on a trade.
Interesting.
Maybe there's also food down that tunnel, but maybe there's Central Registry. But what I noticed was Kane's Mike Sundheim took pictures of Treliving and Waddell walking together. And I was like, this seems like more of an event than just these two men are walking together, or they're trading a third round pick for a fourth and a minor prospect. Figured something big was going on. So they're back there for 10 minutes before any word comes out from McKenzie or Drager or LeBron or any of the big guys that you trust on draft weekend. But then it says Calgary and Carolina are working on something. I'm like, okay, interesting. And as luck would have it, in front of our group of eight people, there were two Flames fans. So they're invested as well. So they're checking their Twitter timelines. We're checking ours. And we see Lindholm's involved. Calgary gets excited. Then we see Dougie Hamilton's involved. And Noah Hanifin's involved. And we see this whole trade come together. And we are, the Canes fans, are collectively jubilant. The Flames fans are getting increasingly dejected. But we weren't going to hide our enthusiasm. We're like, there's only two of you. You can move. We're not going to hide ourselves. We didn't say that to them. But it's like, no, we're not going to keep it down. They kept looking back at us like, guys, come on. We just lost Dougie Hamilton. We're like, guys, we got Dougie Hamilton.
Dougie freaking Hamilton.
So we got Dougie Hamilton. We got Michael Ferland, who's a wrecking ball out there. And we got Adam Fox, who I later heard from ESPN's Chris Peters, is immediately our best defensive prospect and leapfrogs Jake Bean by a lot. Yes, Mike, you picked something up?
Yeah, I grabbed that name you dropped.
Okay, yeah, thank you. But that's part of the fun of draft weekend. You just get to talk to fun people.
Exactly.
So yeah, I think we won that trade. Mike, here's my question for you. I talked about this with the road crew a bunch. Is Dougie Hamilton, as far as his standing in the NHL right now, have we ever had a defenseman who, relative to his peers, is better than Dougie Hamilton is right now?
That is a great question. I don't know if I was expecting that kind of a question from you, Derek.
Because would you say he's probably a top 15 defenseman in the league?
Dougie Hamilton is absolutely elite.
Have we ever had a top 15 defenseman in the league?
That is a very good... I think 2 years ago, Justin Faulk was on the precipice of that.
No.
I think he was.
He was on the precipice of 30.
I think he was on the precipice of higher than that. I think he was. I think folks were considering him a legitimate number one, particularly with all of the goals that he was scoring on the power play. Again, this is his big power play
sure,
year.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah, you're not talking 17-18 season.
No, I'm talking 16-17
right.
season.
Nope.
So, Brett Hedekin, we got him, but he was never a top 30.
Hedekin was never a number one.
I'm trying to think of the...
Like, we've always had a lot of 2-3 defensemen.
Maybe Joni Pikkanen?
No.
Well, I think Joni Pikkanen.
No, and I hold Joni in high esteem.
Yes, I understand where you're coming from. So, Dougie Hamilton theoretically could be one of the best Carolina Hurricanes defensemen of all time.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about it like that, Derek.
Oh, I have.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. We took a picture of an eggplant outside of a grocery store. It was like a concrete pillars that people would put outside so they don't drive into their storefronts.
Right.
We used that eggplant picture a lot over the weekend when discussing the Dougie Hamilton trade.
Yeah. There's also a giant eyeball.
The giant. Look, when I saw that there's an attraction that's just called Giant Eyeball, you have to go, don't you?
I would hope so.
And boy, did we get the $0 that we spent out of that trip. Oh, that picture's made the rounds.
Yes, it has. He very well could be. I mean, obviously he needs to deliver.
Sure.
But Dougie Hamilton has the offensive pedigree. And here's what some of the things that I found interesting. I was listening to 31 Thoughts earlier after that. And Elliot Friedman kind of took the very Canadian way of doing this, of saying, there's got to be something wrong with Dougie Hamilton. A guy that talented doesn't get traded this much this early in his career. I would take the flip side of that, saying a guy who has played for as many coaches as he has, under as many failing coaches as he has, who has continually put up the points and performances that he has, just shows how good he actually is and could be.
I think there's the other side of it, and we've had this discussion like around the PK Subban trade. Hockey culture is really screwed up when it comes to personalities and how they deal with personalities in the room. If you're not Hockey Man, you get ostracized. You know, if you're PK Subban and you're outgoing and you don't get upset enough about winning, or you don't get upset enough about losing, rather, and you like the showmanship aspect of it, Hockey Man doesn't take kindly to that, even though... It's just, you need a variety of personalities and people in the room. And maybe Dougie Hamilton is one of those personalities. Maybe he's certainly more introverted than PK Subban is, because most everyone is. But he's wired a little differently. You shared stories that we read of all the work he does with children's cancer hospitals, and everything you read about Dougie makes him seem like a good, if introverted, guy. And what the hell is wrong with that?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I think...
Did he accidentally step on the logo that's on the floor?
I look at it like this, right? I think Dougie Hamilton has been in this league long enough to be a leader. Let's break down. I'm not going to do this as good as Pat Clark would, but let's actually do a hockey breakdown, right?
Okay.
Our the 2017-2018 Carolina Hurricanes top pair was Jacob Slavin and Brett Pesce.
Mm-hmm.
A very good... Very young pairing.
Yes.
Our second pair was Justin Faulk and a rotating door.
Mm-hmm.
And then our third pair was Trevor Van Riemsdyk and Hayden Fleury.
You're forgetting Hanifin.
I'm including Hanifin in the rotating door.
Okay, gotcha.
Right. You know, because it was Some days it was Hannafin, some days it was Dahlbeck, some days it was Fleury. But it was, you know, it was a bit of a rotating door.
Mm-hmm.
You now look at the top pair that's going to include Dougie Hamilton. Would anyone ever confuse Brett Pesce with a power play quarterback?
I would hope not.
No. While Jacob Slavin's game is coming along, would you consider Jacob Slavin more of a power play specialist?
I would not.
By getting the likes of Dougie Hamilton, you have just alleviated the need for either one of those guys to really, any at all, play on the power play.
Mm-hmm.
You just took your two best shutdown defensemen and you gave them a breather by not having to run out and do a bunch of power play time.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably improved your penalty killing by somewhere between 15 and 25% by freeing up their minutes to be able to do that a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And then look at the trickle-down effect. Justin Faulk can either be paired with Dougie Hamilton on that first power play, or you can roll out four forwards and put Justin Faulk as part of a pairing on the second power play with, I don't know, maybe a newly acquired free agent defenseman.
I'm not going to hypothetically put Justin Faulk anywhere in this lineup.
Right now, he's a Carolina Hurricane, Derek.
He is. Hashtag for now.
For now.
If you'll notice, if you look at the Canes roster on hurricanes.nuhl.com, okay. Dougie Hamilton does not have a number next to his name. Michael Ferlin does.
Right.
Can you tell me what number Dougie Hamilton wore in Calgary, Mike?
I believe Dougie Hamilton was number 27.
Hmm.
He was the old 27.
Huh. So he hasn't picked out a new number yet.
Nope.
Hmm. That's weird. What does Faulk wear?
Faulk is currently number 27. So, Derek, here would be the interesting thing. I currently have two. I have two current Carolina Hurricanes sweaters that are non-goalie related.
Okay.
Well, at least before the draft.
Yeah.
I had a Justin Faulk sweater.
Yep.
And I had a Noah Hanifin sweater.
Mm-hmm.
How's that working out for me this offseason?
Better than my Zach Dalpy and Zach Boychuk sweaters.
Woof. You chose poorly.
Mm-hmm.
Here's an idea for you, Derek. Never get a sweater for a guy named Zach.
Who wears 22?
Unless his last name is Morris. And then immediately go out and buy it.
Now, here's the thing, though. If you get a Zach Morris jersey and a guy named Zach Morris plays for the Canes, does the team get unlimited timeouts? Because he could just freeze time whenever. And,
yeah.
Yeah. No? Okay.
Nah. I like where you were going.
All right. I tried.
I liked where you were going with it. Kelly Kapowski night for the Storm Squad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so many plays we could go.
AC Slater with a singlet.
And we're back to the singlet.
Jesse, oh my God, Jesse Spano taking all those caffeine. It's caffeine pill night at the arena?
Hey,
we're so excited and we're so scared. Sorry.
That's going to be our opening night. We need a Jesse Spano, I'm so excited, I'm so scared t-shirt.
I'm so scared.
That's basically us, though, isn't it? Isn't that how we're looking at this Carolina Hurricane season? We've gotten Andrei Svechnikov. We have traded for Dougie Hamilton. And we have signed free agent defensemen who I called months ago on this very podcast. A guy who multiple teams were, dare I say, pining over.
Dare you?
Calvin DeHaan signed with the Carolina Hurricanes for a reasonable contract.
It's like 4 years, $4 million-ish per.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very good contract for a second pairing defenseman.
You know what I like most about Calvin DeHaan?
What is that?
He is part owner of a craft brewery.
Yes. It was like,
love him already.
I mean, what's it? Blue Ridge, Blue Rock, something like that.
I don't know. I don't know what it's called. It's in Ontario, and they just opened this
when
spring.
When they ship us beer to review, when they ship Bottle Mix,
that's right,
beer that we can go to Bottle Mix and buy and then review.
If Bottle Mix doesn't sell it, I ain't drinking it.
Damn right. Bottle Mix on Creedmoor Road, about 4 miles north of Glenwood Avenue, but you'll hear more about that later. Calvin DeHaan. I believe TSN had him ranked as the second best free agent defenseman in this class behind Mike Green.
John Carlson. Originally, but...
Originally, but all knew John Carlson's resigning with the Stanley Cup champions.
And let's be honest, if you told me right now to pick Mike Green or Calvin DeHaan, I want Calvin DeHaan.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't want an aging guy who rides a Vespa.
Calvin DeHaan fits on this team because, again, he can play the appropriate side.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives the Canes a little bit more left-right flexibility. Because as we were sitting here going, okay, how do we do this, right? I mean, do you go Hamilton Slavin? Then, as it sits now, hashtag for now, do you go DeHaan Falk and then Pesci TVR? Derek, that's good.
That's really good.
That's really good. Then you could go ahead and send Hayden Fleury back down to Charlotte, let him get 20 minutes a night for the future Calder Cup champions.
Yeah. The weird thing is, are we going to pay six defensemen north of $2 million each?
Isn't that what this league's for? Isn't that what this league is going to?
But if that holds, we will have, and as of the other day, I think it changed when there was some signing. I forget what it was. But we have the highest amount of money committed to the blue line of any team in the league.
Don't you think we need the defense with potentially what we have going on in their back end and the uncertainty in goal currently?
Yeah, I just don't see us keeping that.
So, I mean, you've got Hayden Fleury, you've got Roland McEwen, you've got Trevor Carrick, you've got, you know, guys who are untested and unsigned, a.k.a. Jake Bean and Adam Fox.
Mm-hmm.
There's still some depth there in the system.
Oh, yeah.
Again, someone's going to get hurt. You know, someone's going to spend some time on the IR this season. And that,
could you imagine Charlotte's defense if they had Fleury, McEwen, Bean, and Fox?
That's what I'm saying.
Good Lord.
They're going to have three of those guys. Wow. They're going to have Fleury,
wow,
McEwen, Trevor Carrick, who you've forgotten.
I absolutely have forgotten him, much in the way that we all forget Victor Rask from time to time.
Who?
Exactly. A really emotional guy.
Yeah, fourth line, our current fourth line center, Victor Rask.
Yeah.
Yeah. The possibilities for what could happen this season, mm-hmm, Derek, on the back end are just so exciting. Particularly because, last year everyone named the Hurricanes the off-season champions with the moves that we made and the signings that we did. But if you say the Hurricanes on defense swapped Noah Hanifin and Klaas Dahlbeck.
What? Not who. What is a Klaas Dahlbeck?
It is a KHL delicacy.
Is that like a sugary treat that children in Bulgaria receive?
Yes.
Okay.
We swapped Noah Hanifin and Klaas Dahlbeck for Dougie Hamilton and Calvin DeHaan.
That's an upgrade.
That is a massive upgrade to your first pair and a very good upgrade. I'm not going to say Calvin DeHaan is a massive upgrade against Noah Hanifin because I still think Noah Hanifin...
No, but if you're just comparing the two assets, like Hamilton...
As they sit right now, right? I ultimately think Noah Hanifin will be a better player in this league in the long run than what Calvin DeHaan is going to provide. But
yeah,
now, we have to look at... It is no longer what the Hurricanes can be a couple of years from now. We need now. And right now, the Carolina Hurricanes defense is markedly better than it was last season.
Yeah, I think at his peak, Noah Hanifin could be what Dougie Hamilton is now.
Agreed. Agreed. Derek.
Yes.
We have another name up there on the board. We teased this a little bit earlier in the beginning of the show.
Drury?
Nope.
Sweater?
Nope.
Fa?
Derek,
Steve Smith.
Derek, we have been doing this podcast now for over five Carolina Hurricane seasons.
By the way, thanks already for listening to us for more than five seasons.
And for the first time ever.
Ever.
Cam Ward will not pull on a Carolina Hurricane sweater for training camp or to open the season since the 2005 season. Derek, talk to me about your favorite Cam Ward moment since 2010.
Let me talk about these five games in November, Mike.
Wrong!
So
Salabu!
Here's my favorite moment from the day that Cam Ward signed with Chicago. It wasn't just reading the news and thinking, oh my God, we're free. My wife and I went to the Alamo Draft House to go watch Deadpool 2. We're like, let's go have some fun, right? And I'm sitting there waiting, I'm in the bar area waiting to get a beer. And Mike, you know how often when you're out at a bar in the off season, you hear anyone talk about the Carolina Hurricanes around here? Pretty often, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, all the time?
No.
Okay. So I'm waiting to get a beer, and I hear this family and a young woman who seems like she's in her 20s or so is there with what looks like her parents. And I hear her go, oh my God, Cam Ward is gone. Cam Ward is gone. And the table erupts in applause. Now, I don't know the last time I heard anybody talk about a Carolina Hurricanes off-ice transaction ever. And this is the one that sticks out. I think that's kind of telling that fans are excited that Cam Ward's gone. Mike, you probably have some good moments. I want to come back and share some stuff when we talk about November 12th. When Chicago comes back to town with Cam Ward.
Yeah.
But I have a problem. I can't really do that in this state. So I need to fix this glass. For those without the benefit of video, my beer glass is empty and I can't talk about Cam Ward without beer.
No. So
time, Mike.
as Derek goes to grab himself a brew, I struggle with this, right? Because I attempted to write an article while I was on vacation about the, you know, Cam Ward leaving us, and I started to get a little misty and all of that about, you know, what Cam Ward has meant to this franchise, the man that he is, the good father that he is, the you know, what he did to bring a Stanley Cup to Raleigh. And then again, I struggle because people say, well, Cam Ward's been so good in the community, and I privately reached out to some few folks and I said, tell me more. And they said, well, he's just a nice guy. I said, I absolutely agree that Cam Ward is a great dad and, you know, really, you know, nice when you have a chance to talk to him. And he's, dare I say, he's Albertan nice. But what has Cam Ward done in the community? You know, there are Cam's Champs where Cam bought a box and kids come. But, you know, there is no Cam Ward golf tournament. There is no Cam Ward wing at the local children's hospital. There is... I don't know, right? I just feel like as Cam grew up with the team that he grew up with here in Raleigh, and he never made an imprint upon the greater Triangle community that I think he could have, and I will argue that I think he should have. I think there should be a Cam Ward wing in the Duke Children's Hospital. I do think there should be a Cam Ward golf tournament supporting the hospital that helped his son with his hearing. I do think there should be something here that is a stick in the ground that says Cam Ward was here and Cam Ward was great.
He's not the only longtime Hurricane you could say that about.
I've complained about that with Eric Staal for years.
Yep.
I'll complain about that. If we want to go into the Jeff Skinner, you know, where's he going to play next season? I think that goes for Jeff Skinner too. I think that goes to leadership. I think that goes to captaincy, and you know, we can go down that path on a different day.
But yeah, because we're gonna eat up enough minutes tonight.
I think Cam Ward is a great guy.
Sure. Yeah.
I think Cam Ward is a phenomenal father. I think he was a very respected National Hockey League goaltender. I just think he could have not only been great as a player, I think he could have been great in this community. I think he could have cemented himself as a legend in this area. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say that he could have been Jimmy V. You know, Jimmy V is that big, gigantic name that's around here. But you think about some of the, you know, the college basketball names, the, you know, some of the guys who have really kind of made an impact on this area, some of the football names. Torrey Holt.
He and his brother do a hell of a lot for the community.
They do a hell of a lot for the community. They do a hell of a lot for kids. They run a great business here in Raleigh. They've made a massive impact on the community in the area.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say that for really any hurricane, save maybe Glenn Wesley, who did a lot of stuff with the military.
That was the only name that came to mind for me.
But now lives in Utah. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I like Cam. I respect him. I think he's a great man.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see what the future holds for the Sightless Eye
with
two new numbers in net.
The room. The hockey room.
The room.
Needed him to be gone if any other goalie was ever going to be the man.
Guess who's the man now?
Big Ginger Man?
Scott Darling is my fucking goalie.
Yes. So, November 12th, Chicago comes to town.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, Derek, I just need... since we do not have a home game on November 2nd, Turtleneck Night is officially off.
Damn it!
That was my first thought. I saw the schedule come out, and I was like, no game on 11-2. That means no Don Waddell Dickey Night.
That's a shame.
Okay, anyway. 11-2.
11-12, Cam Ward. You've got to think Chicago's probably going to give him the start here.
Absolutely.
There will be a video before. And
I would hope so.
And I will stand and applaud because Cam Ward gave a lot of good years. And there were some years where the team absolutely let him down. There were a lot of teams where he just not a great goalie anymore.
Right.
And then I will implore the Carolina Hurricanes to put every single shot glove high.
Every one of them.
Every one. If I see a shot go low blocker pad, get out. Get the hell out. I don't care if that's your only lane. You wait. You put every puck glove high. You tell me you put up 30 shots, we're scoring 19.
It was funny. You know, one of the, we don't, I know there are some people who are more sensitive to this than others.
I know where you're going.
But we don't like keep a track on like how many followers and who follows us and all of that stuff online. But, you know, there was when Cam left and Joe Ovius noted Cam Ward sympathizer and defender.
Hashtag local media.
Joe Ovius said, if you guys don't chant Cam Ward, you guys are frauds. And we told him, we said, without a doubt.
Yes.
During the first and third period, Cam Ward will get goalie chanted louder than any goalie has been chanted since maybe Marc-Andre Fleury at the All-Star game. Yes, Derek, the man who has his hand up and is now on video so people can see it.
Thank you, sir. Now, when it's louder, you have to consider that there will be some who abstain. But will their abstinence from the chant be made up for by the lust from the rest of us?
Oh, Derek,
And again, it has to go by the rules of the goalie chant. If we're losing in the first period, or if Cam Ward is pitching a bagel somehow, we won't chant him. Rule.
I will break. I am going on record, Derek. I will.
Rules is rules, Mike.
Rules is rules. But I have never, ever, 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 ever been able to goalie chant Cam Ward. And I am going to get one.
Right.
One chance this season to do it. And it may very well be the only chance in my hockey fandom career to goalie chant Cam Ward.
Right.
I can guarantee you, if we are losing 22-0, I will still goalie chant Cam Ward.
You know, I picture that happening, and in the tunnel to the side of 328, Mike Sundheim appears and just like shaking his head like, guys, no, don't. Why? Don't do it. But it's happening. And here's the thing. All the things we said about Cam Ward as a human, valid. The goalie chant, it's not a criticism of who you are as a human being. It's what we do as hockey fans.
Yeah. Like our job is to try to throw you off your game.
Right.
Our job is to, and again, no one hears us.
No one has been goalie chanted more than Brent Johnson. I think we hit him like 8 times in a row one period.
We hit Brent Johnson a lot. I don't know if anyone got it just collectively more, though, than Fleury.
Well, that was really only just one really good time in the All-Star game.
Right, but we had been hitting him with it for years as part of Pittsburgh. When you think,
true,
you know, you think about guys who had longevity in goaltending, and
that's a good point.
I don't know. I like Anywho. I like the math.
I look forward to it. Mike, were you as baffled as I was that they didn't just give Cam Ward $3 million and a no trade clause? They gave him a no move clause. As I think it was Dave Lozo and Greg Wyshynski were saying on Puck Soup, isn't Cam Ward his own no move clause?
Wow.
Like, if he's good, you're not going to trade him for $3 million. And if he sucks, how are you going to trade him?
For $3 million.
Right.
I mean, who needs a $3 million backup? All right, Derek, 45 minutes into the podcast, we have not mentioned the new Carolina Hurricane goalie savior, Petr Mrazek.
I don't think it's Petr.
It's P-E-T-R. That is pronounced Petr.
His middle name isn't File, is it? No? It's Peter. It's Petr Mrazek.
Petr Mrazek, please. What is your take on...
He's a Petr ass, dude.
New Carolina Hurricanes netminder, Petr Mrazek.
So, I don't know anything about goaltending, for the most part. So, I read people who do know goaltending, like Kat Silverman. Yeah. And she mentioned that Mrazek could be a good fit in Carolina. She also mentioned that he has some consistency issues, and everything she wrote sounds like he has happy feet.
Happy feet.
Which may be a struggle, but if we have that really good defense that we spent a lot of time drooling over, maybe that could help. Looking at Mrazek's numbers, and I know some of the situations were bleak, like playing for Detroit in the last 3 years, Mrazek was damn near a Vezina candidate when he came out of nowhere and started for Detroit, and then his numbers have tapered way the hell off.
So what you're saying is a guy who got overplayed and overworked.
But he's still only 26. I don't know that he got overplayed. That, like, he played maybe 60 or so games.
It's a lot of games.
It's a lot of games, but when he was 22 years old, you'd think you could handle that workload, and he played really well then. So, you know, maybe it's a JR reclamation project.
I don't know. I'm fine with it.
It's 1 year, $1.5 million deal.
He's as good as anybody else who was out there.
Exactly. I mean, it was a combination of, really, I don't know that there was a whole lot separating Carter Hutton from Robin Lehner from Petr Mrazek.
I did not want Robin Lehner. Woof.
Yeah, for reasons I don't want to get into on the podcast.
Exactly.
But I think you could make a case that any one of those is the best of the three. You could make a case that any one is the worst of the three. A one-year deal gives it time to see, hey, maybe Ned turns into a goalie that looks like he could be the franchise guy. Or maybe it gives you another year to work a trade. Or I don't know what the 2019 UFA goalie class looks like.
Hey, Derek.
Hey, Mike.
Scott Darling is my freaking goaltender.
Yeah, that too. Maybe Scott Darling, all the work he's putting in this offseason, becomes the guy that he was in Chicago for, you know, 25 to 40 games a year and can take that number one mantle and freaking run with it this year. That's so ideal.
Let's hit this real quick. We're going to start powering through this and hopefully keep this podcast under 70 minutes. Luke DeCock did a very good article today in the Raleigh News Observer about the reclamation project of Scott Darling, what he did last offseason, how he came into camp, notedly out of shape. I don't know if I even realized how poor his previous offseason was. But Derek, what was your take on Luke's article today? I know a lot of folks around the Triangle thought that it was well written. There was other folks around the Triangle who thought it was, maybe poorly worded, particularly as it related to some of Scott's previous alcohol issues. So what was your take on the article?
I thought overall it was a pretty good and mostly fair look at the struggles that Scott faced last year and the work that he's putting in this year to be a better goalie and a better teammate. I thought there were some places, you know, you can get into the nitty gritty, particularly on Scott's demons with alcohol, of he got no for an answer. And then, like what Luke said, of he didn't want to comment further or something to those lines. Okay, that may be a little bit too much editorialization and too much digging into something that maybe doesn't need to be dug into, but I think it's completely fair to ask the question of, you know, hey, you've had issues before. Was this an issue last year? I think that's a fair question for a journalist to ask, but I don't think the tone was, I don't think it was like a hit piece by any means. I don't think it was a tug job like you'd see for other goalies for this organization in the past. I thought it was a mostly fair look, and it talked a lot about the work Scott's putting in with the new team trainer.
Yeah, I really appreciated the there was about a 2-minute video piece that went along with the article. I think the News and Observer crew did a really nice job with that. So and kudos to Scott for opening up a little bit and really kind of accepting ownership of what happened last season, which he's done time and again, but really saying, look, I thought I was going to be able to waltz in here and have it be Chicago and, you know, maybe let my foot off the gas a little bit, and I'm doing the work. And yeah. Good to see Bill Burleson, the strength and conditioning coach for the Carolina Hurricanes, out there with him 6 days a week and really kind of pushing him. So I'm excited to see how Scott comes into the season, how he's able to carry the load. I'm excited for what Peter Mrazek has. And hopefully this is a goaltending duo that is going to be able to deliver us NHL average goaltending, because I think that's all we need.
Mm-hmm.
Because
you're here.
Because guess what? The Atlantic Division just got a lot better.
Yeah.
The Metropolitan Division became a series of have and have nots. Because guess who has not? The Islanders.
Mm-hmm.
The Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that leaves 6 teams. At least 4 of those teams are making the playoffs.
The Devils basically stood pat. The Jackets, essentially the same. You could say they got better by getting rid of Jack Johnson. You could say the Penguins got worse by signing Jack Johnson.
Again, I don't think you're going to see Pittsburgh fall off, but I think, again, with the contract concerns that Panarin has, mm-hmm. the potential contract concerns that Sergei Bobrovsky has,
mm-hmm.
the Blue Jackets are positioned potentially for a fall. There's some teams out there that did not necessarily get tremendously better this offseason. Carolina Hurricanes have a chance to snag a playoff spot in this Metropolitan Division.
Yeah, it's exciting, and I think there's still... This is not the way the roster is going to look opening night.
No, there's still moves to be made. So, Derek, if you had one move that the Carolina Hurricanes would make, what's that move?
This could actually happen, or I am playing NHL 18, be a GM.
I'll take both.
I honestly don't know the realistic move that the Canes could make at this point. I don't know what's out there. I think with
Saint Louis, I'll give you what I think is a realistic move, and you take the NHL GM.
That sounds good.
I think a realistic trade potentially is Valeri Nichushkin for Jeff Skinner. Valeri Nichushkin and a pick for Jeff Skinner.
Okay.
Again, because Nichushkin spent time in the NHL, has proven that he has what it takes to be a National Hockey League player. We have another Russian on this team who could use somebody to be a bit of a mentor for him. And I think Dallas is looking for a reason to pair somebody with Tyler Seguin to get Seguin to be excited to re-sign back in Dallas. Derek, what is your NHL 18 move that involves the Edmonton Oilers?
Faulk and Skinner for Draisaitl.
Oh, stop it.
just looking it up real quick. Nichushkin in the NHL, he's played 166 games, has 23 goals and 41 helpers. In the KHL last season, he played 50 games, 16 goals, 11 helpers.
So, good, not great.
Right.
But again, a guy who could... assists Svechnikov, could put in second, third line minutes. And we could get probably a second round draft pick out of Dallas as well.
Okay.
I don't know. Just throwing options out there. Because again, you have to not only consider what we could get back, but where is Jeff Skinner going to accept a trade to with his no movement clause or no trade clause.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he's got to do that. Derek, We're getting a little bit little long on this podcast. Steve Smith resigned today. Takes on that. What's your thoughts?
Surprising.
Yeah. Particularly with Brendan Moore being on 99.9 The Fan earlier and talking about how excited he was and how good Smitty was.
Yeah. On the other hand, I feel like the team kind of had to know, since they already had a press release written and dumped it at the exact same time that the Durham Bulls announced Canes Night.
I've always liked Smitty. I think he's a good coach. I think he's helped this defense. I think he's helped this defense a lot. We were kind of having an internal conversation with the 328 crew today, and maybe it was just a matter of after Kane's development camp, Steve got a chance to see what it was going to be like to coach with Brendan Moore and coach with new assistant coach Jeff Daniels and felt like it wasn't going to be a good fit.
Maybe he found a place in Utah.
Maybe he found a place in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Who knows? I like Smitty. I wish he was still with his team. But again, congratulations to future Carolina Hurricanes assistant coach Tim Gleason, right?
No.
You don't think so? First time.
I'm saying no because I don't want it.
I don't think I want it either, but you know, if anybody has Steve,
I don't want more first time coaches with a first time head coach.
I agree. Yeah, I can.
I want a support system around it.
Okay.
But yeah, curious to see where Steve Smith ends up. Like, I don't know. Is he not wanting to coach again, or I don't know.
It's lots of questions still be asked. Steve, I know you'll listen to the podcast. If you'd like to come on and explain yourself, please do. Derek, Carolina Hurricanes have a new third sweater. It's interesting.
Yeah, we talked about this on the Dallas podcast editions, but we obviously didn't get your thoughts since you were vacationing, gallivanting around the globe. Just summary, I like it more as a uniform, like all together, than I do just as a sweater. The sweater itself is growing on me, but I still can't see myself wearing it.
I think it is going to be one of the five most popular sweaters in March of next year. I think the Carolina Hurricanes are going to have an amazing season. I think Andrei Svechnikov is going to have a top 10 selling National Hockey League sweater.
Across the league?
Across the league.
You've lost your damn mind.
And I think, Derek, Andrei Svechnikov is going to score 78 goals.
I keep forgetting about that.
Yes, because... Yeah, baby.
You know who we have to have as a guest on that podcast?
Matt Riegler?
Joe Thornton.
Oh, that'd be fun. That would be fun. Derek, we talked about captaincy a little bit. Let's talk about future Carolina Hurricanes captain Jack Drury.
He won't be.
It'll be a different time by the time you listen to this podcast. It is 8:43 on this Monday, July 9th. 2018, and I am telling you that before he finishes his National Hockey League career, Jack Drury will be the captain of your Carolina Hurricanes.
Okay.
I want to be the first one out there with it.
Okay.
It's done.
I appreciate it.
It's marked.
Okay.
Derek, I think there's only one thing left we have to do.
Well, I got to talk about a beer too.
But we also got to talk about that cheat mail. Cheat mail. Gotta go get some cheat mail.
Shall I go first?
Yes, you should, because I still haven't brought up the Twitterers.
Oh, okay. Well, just a moment.
Just a moment.
Damn. Hold on. I'm a terrible human being.
Okay.
Gotta find these questions from our friend Andrea.
Okay, what?
From NC Superwoman.
NC Superwoman, do not F with her because she will bench press you.
Here's a tough one, Mike. This may be tougher for me. F, Mary, Kill.
Okay. Ooh, starting off cheat mail with an F, Mary, Kill.
We have a lot of F, Mary, Kills tonight. Yeah. And it's the offseason. Let's have some damn fun. Bacon flight. Corn dog nuggets. Donatos.
Okay.
Like, this is just rude of Andrea to do this, considering all three of these treat us well.
The only saving grace I know is because she is a soulless ginger. You know,
she's not a ginger.
Oh, she's a soulless ginger.
You also think Jordan Stahl is a ginger.
He is. I am going to. I'm effing corn dog nuggets.
Okay.
I'm effing corn dog nuggets because I know how passionate I can be with them for such a short amount of time.
Okay.
I'm marrying Donatos.
Okay.
Because
I think I know why.
Because if you're going to be with something forever, I want to be able to be a little lazy with it. I want to be able to be a little fat with it, but I also want something that is covered in so many damn pepperonis.
A little crispy edge
little
pepperonis.
Crispy edge pepperonis just make me so happy. But also, you remember they did that buffalo chicken pizza last year?
Nashville hot chicken pizza.
Oh, yeah. That was so good. So I am killing the bacon flight because I wasn't there in Dallas for the bacon flight. I didn't get a chance to enjoy the bacon flight. So you know what? F the bacon flight.
We agree on one answer, Mike.
Okay. F the bacon flight.
Nah, I'm marrying Donato's. Because here's the thing. It's pizza. Pizza has so many varieties.
Yeah.
You can't get tired of pizza, especially when it's good pizza.
Yeah.
I'm effing that bacon flight.
Ooh.
Because you can't have a bacon flight all the time, right?
No, you'll die.
So it is with great regret I must kill corn dog nuggets. I feel like I've been programmed in the Naked Gun. Must kill corn dog nuggets.
You've spent way too much time with Mike Flood. Way too much time with Mike Flood. So this one coming from our buddy at BillJoseph06. He has also changed his name to Furland for life. Michael Furland will beat up someone for you. Pick one NHL player to be his punching bag.
Is that current NHL player?
Current National Hockey League player to be his punching bag.
Brad Marchand.
Why?
He licks people. Without request. Like, if someone just licks people and it's like, hey, would you come over here and lick me? That's one thing. But unwarranted licking is just, that's a no. That's a no.
Those folks who aren't watching on Twitch just missed out on something that could have been magical. The correct answer, there is only one correct answer.
I'm going to be mad at myself when you say it.
Patrick Kane.
Oh, damn it.
Told you.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. That's the right answer.
Punch Patrick Kane in his ugly, rapey face.
Yeah.
So, follow up at PNC, so you could be present or away, so the guy gets his ass kicked in front of his kids.
I don't believe either of these gentlemen or guys have children. So, do it at the PNC arena so I can watch.
I agree. Derek, next question.
This comes to us from Kevin Kohler at KohlerKO8. We all love GM Voltron, so I ask you to create a Voltron player pieced together from former Hurricanes, a.k.a. the shot of Anton Babchuk, Tim Gleason's forehead, etc.
Ooh. Okay, so let's build this guy, right?
Yeah.
Let's start with, I want this guy to have the dome of Byron Richie.
Oh my God!
Big yes,
Easter Island. Oh, is
Big Baby Head?
It just hit me. Is Byron Richie related to Nick Richie?
Yes. Why not?
Because those two guys have some giant nuggets.
Yeah. So I want him, this guy to have the head, the giant baby head that is Byron Richie.
What if Byron Richie and Kevin Adams had a baby?
Oh, I would have eight heads.
So much forehead. Okay, sorry, Mike.
No, go ahead.
Okay, so you get the head of Byron Richie.
The head of Byron Richie.
Former defenseman.
I mean, you could pick any position, I believe.
Oh, was it defense? Was it not just defenseman?
I think it was any player. It's our podcast. We make the name rules.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Former Hurricanes. Yeah, I will take the fists of Jesse Bolarys.
Okay. All right. I like that. That's solid. That's
these are
scary.
These are not the shooting hands. These are just the punching hands.
Speaking of Jesse Bolarys, some folks may not have seen it. Peter Worrell of Jesse Bolarys' cowering fame joined the coaching staff of the Fayetteville Marksmen today. I hate the Fayetteville Marksmen because their ownership is awful and horrible people. Specifically calling out Fayetteville Marksmen partial owner Jeff Longo and Peter Worrell, also a horrible person who cowered to Jesse Bowler. So yeah, I like that a lot.
All right.
I want to give this player the quick feet of one Mr. Sammy Kapanen.
Ooh, I like that one.
Former NHL's fastest skater, mm-hmm. Sammy Kapanen.
Should I do the divisive one now?
Go for it.
The healthy wrists of Alex Semin.
Ooh, I like that.
Not the injured wrists, because they're still healing.
Yeah, they still take a long time to heal.
Look, we all know you go to WebMD, wrist injury, surgery, 6 to 8 year recovery time.
Absolutely.
So he's still recovering, but when they were healthy, my God, that man had a wrist shot.
I like it. The eyes... A former Carolina Hurricanes general manager, Ron Francis.
Mm-hmm.
Steely and quick.
I like that a lot. I like the slap shot of Babchuk, but I'm going to go slightly different. I'm going to go the slap shot of Danny Markov.
Oh, God, yes.
Because I want people behind the nets, even though there are safety precautions in place, to still cower in fear knowing that a laser may be coming their way.
I'm going to take this a bit further. I'm going to also say the lungs of Danny Markov.
You want to send a puck 104 miles an hour while pulling a dart?
Any guy who can skate like that guy did while burning a pack of Marlboro Reds at intermission, just, you know, yeah. I want those black lungs of Danny Markov as well.
I think that's a pretty good player.
We're almost there, Derek.
Okay, what else do we need?
I think we need hips. Who on this team had really good...
Skinner.
Oh yeah, I think the hips of Jeff Skinner.
Yeah,
and I think last but not least, I want the attitude.
Oh, I said former Kane, so it can't be Skinner. Sorry.
I want the attitude of Scott Walker.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. There we go. That might be the perfect player, and I believe his name is Andrei Svechnikov. Derek, I can go back here. Let's see. Had other folks talking about our good friend Kelly sending questions about Steve Smith and the goalie situation. I think we talked that dead. Yay, Mrazek. Steve Smith is dead to us. Create a new player, Kevin Kohler. Is Steve Smith resigning a good thing or a bad thing? Derek?
Neither.
That is correct. Also, from our buddy Eric L. Lundis 197, is there a live band better than the Dropkick Murphys? No. No, there's not.
I've never seen them live, so I can't judge.
They're better than Jay-Z, so I'll just give you that.
Jay-Z's not a band.
Exactly. He's also not a musician. Anyway, please go ahead. Michael Butler, what is your favorite lunch place in Raleigh, Derek? This is a great question. Favorite lunch place in Raleigh?
See, I want to go with a brunch place, but that doesn't count. I don't know that I have a favorite lunch place in Raleigh.
I'm going to get...
Because I work in Cary.
Well, so, I mean, I think we'd include Cary, Apex, the greater Triangle region.
Because I love La Farm. I'm a sucker for good bread.
Okay, so La Farm out in Cary, that's a good choice. That's a good choice. I'm going to go maybe not a 9-to-5 Monday through Friday lunch place unless you've got a slightly resilient workplace. I'm going to go over to Northwest Street. I'm going to the Cardinal.
I figured you might go over there.
I'm going to the Cardinal, everybody's favorite place that has one thing on the menu. Hot dogs.
Mm-hmm.
They're the best hot dog in Raleigh. Mm. Much respect to the Roast Grill, to Snoopy's and all of those other guys, but the Cardinal has the best hot dog in Raleigh. They also have good booze. They also traditionally have very good trophy beer on tap or available in the can. So I will give the good folks over at the Cardinal right around the corner from where Comedy Sports was recently demolished over on Northwest Street. The best lunch place in all of Raleigh. Anybody who wants to fight me on that, show up at the Cardinal on Saturday.
What if Michael Ferland shows up?
I will punch Michael Ferland square in the nose if he disagrees that that's not the best hot dog in Raleigh.
All right. From Al Hood, F. Mary Kill, the full lineup of Kane's sweaters, current ones, home red, road white, and the new third.
I am absolutely marrying that sweet, sweet, sexy white jersey. Because white never goes out of style. I'm effing that new jersey. And I'm killing the red jersey because I think the red jersey is currently a little underwhelming.
That's the right answer.
Yeah.
I agree on all three of those.
Gotcha. Let's go here to from Carl Kikas, K to the Arl. Carl, thanks for sending in questions to this podcast because the other Canes podcast doesn't know how to pronounce your name and also makes fun of Kiki Vandeweghe. So how good is it that Tavares is out of the Metro? How good will it be when Tavares gets out of the East?
I think it's fine that he's out of the Metro. Makes it slightly easier, but I don't think the Islanders are going to be a threat anyway. Toronto was already a playoff team. He makes them a better team. Yeah.
Carlson's not getting out of the East.
No, he's going to Tampa.
Yeah, he's going to Tampa. Sorry, Carl.
Oops. Let's see here.
I got another one here. 5, okay. 8, and 10. All the human being things. Good Twitter follow at 5, 8, and 10. Call your shots now. Point total for Svechnikov. Go. Point total, not goal, not assist. Point total. Derek, go. Give me what you got.
61.
That is wrong. Nachos.
46.
Zikov.
41.
Which one wins the Calder?
Svech.
Okay. I will give you the correct answers. The correct answer is Svechnikov, 93 points.
He's only getting 15 assists? He's
only getting 15 assists because you don't have to pass the puck when you put it in the back of the goal 78 times. Nachos is going to get 61 points. Valentin Zikov is going to get 46 points. The Carolina Hurricanes are making the playoffs. Andrei Svechnikov wins the Calder. Nachos is in fourth place in the Calder vote.
All right.
John Tavares is second in the Calder vote because he plays in Toronto.
They're going to vote him in as a right wing. Another F. Mary Kill from our pal Dane at Take Warning 1819. F. Mary Kill, Adidas authentic Don Waddell Dickies. Canes go all in with Whalers throwback and change team colors to blue and green. Budweiser gets exclusivity over all beer sales at PNC.
Ooh. I'm killing the blue and green. No way. Don't want it. Don't want anything to do with it. Don't want it anywhere near my Carolina Hurricanes. I like it as a gimmick. I like it as a throwback. I do not like it as trying to take over what was a great franchise's history. I don't think that is where we're going with this. So with that, I then need to F Budweiser because it's cheap, it's dirty, and I guess it's good for a one-night stand. And yeah, authentic Don Waddell Dickies all day, all night, all day, or day.
I agree. The best choice of those is marrying the Don Waddell Dickies. However, I am killing the Budweiser.
Yeah, see, you drink beer at the game. I don't. So I'm perfectly fine. I'm like, oh, guess what? I still get to drink whiskey
so
at the game.
So by default, I'll F the, or not, like killing Budweiser, F the blue and green, and marry the Don Waddell Dickies.
Yeah, and that could be the right answer, too, because it's good once or twice a season. So, yeah. Derek, I think this is going to be the last one for me. This is from Gary Spakes. Gary underscore Spakes over on the Twitterverse. Do you see Falk and Skinner on the roster in October?
Falk and Skinner, no.
And playing fantasy GM, who is the one player you'd bundle them for to further improve the team? I think we heard your answer.
Dreisaitl. I mean, you get a 1C like a Dreisaitl in there, and then that just opens up a world of possibilities. Do you want to keep Aho at wing? Is Aho your 2C?
Hey, Derek, how about this?
What?
Package Falk and Skinner to Ottawa for Erik Karlsson.
Jeez. Hamilton and Karlsson as your top pair.
Dougie Hamilton and Erik Karlsson as your top pair. Jacob Slavin, Calvin DeHaan as your second pair.
No, Slavin and Pesci is your second pair. DeHaan and Trevor Van Riemsdyk is your third.
And then, oh, stop. Just... I don't want to sound inappropriate, but I would motorboat that. I would motorboat that defensive pairing so good. I'd be
Jesus.
Like, DeHaan. DeHaan and
Say something else before I talk about our sponsor. Say something else, Mike.
Derek.
Yes.
Are you currently drinking a beer?
Thank God after what you just said.
Okay.
Damn it. As we mentioned earlier, Bottle Mix, great place to buy beer. They sell a great beer.
Horrible place to motorboat a defensive pair.
It is a truly awful place for that. Really, any place is. So went in, and for the next 2 weeks, you can talk to Dustin and before he moves off to Tampa. And they have other great beer people there, but Dustin has been treating us so well, I want to mention him by name while I can. And Dustin pointed out that Revision Brewing from Nevada, who makes beautiful New England IPAs, has a new one called Sparkle Muffin. And for those of you with the benefit of Twitch, can see that there's a pink and purple can with a cat flying through outer space. It's described as a Northeast-style hazy IPA. It says, this fruit-forward single IPA features deep flavors of citrus from the hops, yet is easy drinking. Don't wait until later, Mike. Enjoy it right meow.
I'm sorry, when?
Right meow.
When?
Right meow.
Okay.
And the bottom of the can is stamped with catnip for humans. This beer was canned June 28th, so it'd be fresh as hell. I think there are citra hops in it.
Ooh.
There may be mosaic because it is fruity and rich and juicy.
May I smell?
Yeah.
Here, let's
you won't hate it. Yeah, so you won't hate the aromas on that.
Oh, okay. Okay.
There is, on this one, there is a little bit of that that marijuana sticky, earthy, herbal note to it, but it's still smooth and juicy and
yeah,
fruity.
Yeah, no, they're very fruity.
And hazy. So for those of you on Twitch, you can see a nice nice haze. It's light in color. It pours a little bit of head on the beer. It's absolutely delicious. It's a 16-ounce can. It's 7% alcohol. It's a few bucks. These aren't the least expensive beers you'll ever get. I think they're still like in the neighborhood of $4 or so for a can, which I think is outstanding for how good this beer is. I mean, think if you're out at a bar, you get a pint of something that's good. It's going to run you at least $6 or $7. So get this at home, enjoy the hell out of it, and save a couple bucks by swinging by Bottle Mix. They just sent out another email this evening. They have so many events going on, it's hard for me to keep up with everything. I don't even see it in my email anymore, but there's stuff going on all the time. They had a tap takeover from Hardywood Brewing in Richmond, ooh, who's now distributing in the area. So Bottle Mix had like 6 or 7 things from Hardywood on tap. You can go there and get some awesome double IPA called Great Return. Their Pilsner's really good. If you just like good beer-flavored beer, their Pilsner's great. They've got all kinds of cool summer wines in there, a bunch of wine in a can if you want to go to the pool. Bring some stuff there so you don't have to worry about shattered glass and the lifeguards kicking you out. Bring a can of wine. Have a good time. So yeah, go to Bottle Mix. As Mike mentioned earlier, they're on Creedmoor Road, a few miles north of Glenwood, about a mile south of 540. Go see Bruce. Go see Chris. Go see Dustin. Go see anybody. They got some brand new Bottle Mix polos that look really nice. Ooh. So find anybody in those shirts. Have a beer. Shop around. And have a good time. Tell them Section 328 sent you.
Yeah. You know, Derek, now that you mention it, wine in a can at the pool actually sounds pretty darn delightful.
Right?
You know, because that Wendy Peppercorn, she does not like glass in her pool.
Wow.
Yeah, that was it.
All right.
Podcast, under 80 minutes, as promised. We started with McLaughlin Group. We ended with Sparkle Beer. And meow, it is our time to say thank you for listening to this wonderful podcast. On next week's podcast, or on the next episode of this podcast, it is my unabashedly favorite podcast of the year. As hockey season tends to roll down this time of season, not a lot of things going on. Free agency is over. You're only going to hear from us probably once or twice between now and training camp, as things happen in Caniac land. But that gives everybody associated with the Hurricanes a little time to recharge and recoup. But that also gives the voice of the Carolina Hurricanes television broadcast team, John Forslund, 60 solid minutes to come on this podcast. And we spoke with Mr. Forslund today. He has happily agreed to revisit his annual Cheaters Never Win experience. So John will be calling in the next week or so, and we'll be recording the annual John Forslund episode of this Cheaters Never Win podcast. So if you have questions and you're listening to this, please send them in. We will ask the questions of John. John is great. He's going to tell stories. I don't think we necessarily have a lot of softballs for John this year. You know,
we have a lot of cool stuff to talk about.
We have a lot of cool stuff to talk about. We've got a lot of we've got to talk about the Chuck Caton thing. We've got to talk about ownership.
God, yeah.
There's a lot of, you know, deeply personal stuff to talk about with John. And he has been, you know, he and Chuck have been the two guys who have been with this team since the move
46
from Harvard.
Since after the war.
Yeah. So John's got a great history with his franchise, but he's also got some great stories to tell. And again, we thoroughly appreciate and just know how lucky we are to have John here in Raleigh, and even luckier that he's going to take an hour out of his day to spend some time with two guys like us. So
I got a couple things.
Yes.
One, I just looked up the Bottle Mix email.
Yes.
That I was excited about. Next Tuesday, the 17th, they're doing a trophy tap event.
Oh,
so
we love trophy.
We love trophy beer, and they're bringing a few special things up to Bottle Mix to tap.
Derek, so I think we should be there.
You should absolutely go to Bottle Mix and check that out. Two, we mentioned earlier we have a new Svechnikov shirt.
Yes.
So if you go to the 328 store, you can see the Svechnikov shirt there. People have them. People love them. They were worn at Summerfest, which
was
is
nice
awesome.
To see. Yep.
Awesome to see that. And again, now that I am back from Dallas, once again, thank you to everyone for listening, but especially thank you to all our patrons for the support that make that Dallas trip possible so we can provide coverage from the draft. We truly appreciate it. If you want to get in on it, go over to section328.com, hit the Patreon button. There are great rewards there, and we appreciate everyone who helps support this podcast.
And if you can't be a Patreon, Amazon Prime Day's coming up here next week.
Next Monday.
Before you go and do all of your shopping over for Prime Day, just go to Section 328, click on the Buy on Amazon button, and Amazon will throw a couple of pennies in ye oldie bank account for all of the purchases that you make, and we don't even get a chance to see what really embarrassing stuff that you bought. But thank you guys for everything. We really do appreciate it. Thank you for listening. We miss you guys. We're working on a couple of the things, maybe some get-togethers this summer. Potentially one of them might be a movie get-together to watch a hockey-themed movie. Maybe in the next 6-8 weeks, we're working on some stuff around that. We can't make any announcements yet. Heck, maybe we'll even do a live podcast to get-together. I don't know. But we'll do something. I miss my hockey friends. I'm glad that we were back in the studio tonight. Next time in the studio, live on the phone, will be John Forsland. But until then, thank you guys for listening. We really do appreciate it. It has been one hell of a season. I think this officially puts a stamp, Derek, on our 5th season.
We said that the last podcast we recorded.
I know. But now that we've drafted Svechnikov,
you can't triple stamp a double stamp.
I can do whatever the hell I want. Next episode, we'll officially begin the 6th season of Cheaters Never Win. So it will be, since the other podcast thinks they have to do, you know, season 1, episode 1, it will be season 6. For those of you who are keeping count, keep up. Until then, my name's Mike.
This is Derek.
And we love you guys. We'll talk to y'all soon.